Well, glory. Amen. Good to see you. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? So it's my turn, right? Glory be. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, how good he is. Isn't he so gracious and so kind and so gentle? And he's just so good to us all the time. And that one phrase in that song, how undeserving. How undeserving. Y'all hold me to that. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, how undeserving. But I just wanted to say, by way of introduction, it is a treat to be with y'all. We have been looking forward to this time of celebrating with you. I think it's been 3 years. 3 years since we were with y'all last. And this is our first time without the Carvers being with y'all. See the man back there? I told him, I said, this is the first time I've been here without your mom and your dad and the whole crew. But look, God worked it out with at least one of them be here. Amen. Look at there, look at there. But yes, we have been looking forward to celebrating. We thank you, Brother Jerry, for having us. My bride, of course, she is in Texas right now with our youngest daughter and her children. She's expecting and will be due toward the end of this month, first part of next month. So she went over there to just give her a little hand. Some of her friends were having a shower for her, and she went over there to celebrate with them and spend some time with the Grand Arrows and hang out with them. This will make number 9 for us. So we have been richly, richly blessed, and we're looking forward to meeting little Marigold here pretty soon. And the Lord just keeps pouring out His favor upon us, so undeserved, so undeserved. And we've done a million things to mess it all up, but He just keeps being gracious, and it's all because of Jesus, amen? It's all because of Jesus. And we want to come just to celebrate with you this week, just to look to Him, to lean in on Him. She will be back, Lord willing, on Tuesday. I will go over and pick her up on Monday evening. Monday night after the service, I'm going to drive to Jackson and grab her. My daughter and them will pick her up. I have one that lives in that area, and we'll spend the night there and then make our way back over here on Tuesday. So she'll get to celebrate with y'all, and she is the best part of me, so y'all get to joy with her. Amen? Well, look, won't you take the revelation that you brought with you? Turn to the Older Testament book of 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to look at what we can call a microcosm of the essence of all that we do and all that we will do will be found within this section or this storyline that we have, this historical reference here with a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And as we ponder God's undeserved favor upon him and his blessings upon him, as the choir has already led us, the ladies have already brought this idea before us, that's what we see. And it's something for us not to ever forget. How many times when you're reading through the scriptures, you see, man, God just blessed them and God poured out favor upon them and God did this and it was so undeserved in what He did and why He did it and how He did it and the product of what He had produced in it. And I just want to give you a couple nuggets to hold on to in this week as we look at some of these things. But there's a passage. I want you to hold your spot there, but I want you to go look, if you would, in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans. Hold your spot in Chronicles, because we don't want to get away from this. Everything we read, everything we see, everything we observe this week is going to be based on these two principles that are going to be found in Romans. And we're also going to look at another spot that's going to help us see this. But Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, look in about verse number 25, verse 25. So every time God does something wondrous in your life, or every time we see Him showing favor to a group of people, this is going to be the reason why. This is why He was able to do this and why He will continue to do it as He chooses fit. Romans 3:25 gives us the answer to it. It reads like this. whom God set forth as a propitiation. The word propitiation is a word that we don't use a whole lot within our English language. How many times do you ever hear people use propitiation in a conversation? Anybody? Not often. But the word means that there was a satisfied covering. God in His mercy done something that satisfied God. That God appeased Himself. And God is the only one that can appease Himself. You want to remember that. Oftentimes we give across the wrong idea when we tell people God accepts us as we are. Now He does accept us, but He accepts us based on somebody else's merit. What somebody else done for us. Because we don't have anything in us that can appease God. We can't satisfy God. Somebody else satisfied God on our behalf, and because He satisfied Him, then God can credit His satisfaction upon us. And that is because we put faith in Him. The only way to please God is by believing Him. Amen? By trusting Him. By putting faith in Him. So, the word satisfy is this, that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. How did He do it? By His gracious life. By the gracious life that He lived. Hebrews tells us that Jesus came according to the grace of God. He lived according to the grace of God. He suffered according to the grace of God. He tasted death according to the grace of God. For every believer that would ever believe in Him, He lived by grace. And that's why we are saved by grace, because of the unmerited, unconditional favor placed upon His Son that can be applied to you and me. So, He says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, His lifeblood, through faith, to demonstrate or to declare or manifest now His righteousness, because in His what? In His what? His forbearance. God forbear people in the past. God forbeared our life without Him. He forbeared us. He forbeared Jehoshaphat. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate or declare or manifest now or why at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know why God was able to show undeserved favor to Jehoshaphat or anybody else? Because of Jesus. Amen? Because of Jesus. The Bible is telling us that He is right now, when Jesus came, that was God's demonstration or His manifestation, how He could be just in showing undeserved favor to people that didn't deserve favor. That He could be just and the justifier of the ones that didn't deserve His presence in their life. And I want to tell you, that applies to everybody in here. Amen. Everybody. If God's ever done anything for you, it's because of Jesus. If God will ever do anything for you, it's because of Jesus. If God ever done anything, and He's done a whole lot. The Bible says when God does something, He only does extraordinary things. Psalm 72:18 says that when God does a work, it's a wondrous work. And when He works, it's a wondrous, extraordinary thing by the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For an example, now go to Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. If I was to say, what's Romans 8:28 say? Y'all know it. Y'all help me with it. What's Romans 8:28? For what? Well, the Bible does teach us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need undeserved this favor that comes from God. But what does Romans 8:28 teach us? That all things what? Work together for the good. Does that say everything is good? Does that say everything will be good? That says that everything He will work it out to make it for good, Why? Because somebody was good, somebody did a good thing, and somebody did something that satisfied God on our behalf. So all things work together for the good of those who what? Love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now, what good is He talking about? What's the good that you think He's talking about? Does that mean that He's going to rain on us? We need it, right? It's dry out there, isn't it? On my trip over here, looking just the difference in this terrain and this area and all through the drive, the difference in what it's looked over the years, it's drastically looking different. The drought is evident. Now, it's obvious we can see it. It's obvious we can feel it. But sometimes, you know, you can tell the further you get away from these water sources and the further you get away from these creeks. And I think I crossed, how many creeks I crossed on 46 to get here? Three?
Or more.
Well, when these creeks are getting dry and they drying up, the further you get away from these water sources, the drier this ground looks. And the same thing applies to churches. Everywhere we go in, we see, and the further we're getting away from the living water of the Word of God, the churches are drying up. So we got to have a flow of living water. Amen. And you know what happens when droughts come? When famines come, people forget the goodness of God. Matter of fact, Joseph said that to Pharaoh. Remember that great famine that came upon Egypt, and God put Joseph in the position to help him? He said this word, that the plentifulness, all the good that came, will be forgotten because of the famine, or the drought would be so severe. That's what's happening across our land today. God has never not been good. And all God's people saying? But we have to keep reminding people over and over and over again of just how good He is, because so many are walking through a drought and a famine, they forget how good He's been to them. And they're getting further and further away from the watering source. And He says here that the good that He's referring to is that He's going to conform us, He's predestined us to be more and more like Jesus. And all God's people said, listen to what He said in verse number 29. For whom, this is the good, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn from among many brethren. That's the good, that we look more like Jesus. Verse 30. Moreover, whom He's predestined, these He's also called. Whom He called, He's also justified. Whom He's justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who or what can be what? Now watch, verse 32. He who did not spare His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not, with or through Him, also freely give us what? I tell you what, if there's anything godly or good or gracious or gentle, anything God ever does for His people, who is it through? It's through Jesus. Amen. Why was He able to be favorable to Noah? Because of Jesus. Why was He able to show Abraham undeserved favor? Because of Jesus. Why was He able to do something in the life of King David? Because of Jesus. Why was He able to do something in the life of Jehoshaphat that we're going to look into maybe this morning and tonight? It was because of who? Jesus, 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 Jesus. It was when Jesus came to this earth, it was how God declared of how just and good He is, that He showed them His undeserved favor because of what somebody else would do to please Him in a future day. And I want to tell you, it's His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe everything to Jesus. Amen? Everything to Jesus. That's why we believe Jesus. That's why we throw our life upon Jesus. Some people will tell me they believe Jesus, but the evidence in their life don't bear forth fruit that they believe in Jesus. For an example, to believe in Jesus is to what? Believe Jesus. That is, you believe what He said. What did Jesus say? Well, Jesus said man is not to live on what? Bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen? Some people say, well, I believe Jesus, but they don't believe that. How do I know they don't believe that? Because they rarely ever seek God's word. They rarely ever seek God's answers. They rarely ever get up from morning to morning and say, God, what would you have me to do today? Where would you have me to go today? What do you want me to say today? How do you want me to think today? What do you want me to do today? That's why Psalm 63:3 would say, God's loving kindness, His mercy is better than life. Why? This life will fail you. How many of y'all watch life fail people? How many times you've seen life forsake you and fail you and ruin people around you? Why? Because this life in this world is messed up. Amen. Now, there's goodness of God everywhere we turn, but the only way to see the goodness, you got to be in relationship with the one who gives the goodness. But outside of that, this world we live in is fallen. And it's filled with fallen people, with fallen problems, and this world will beat you up and bring you down and destroy you if you ain't right with a holy God. Amen. Why? Because God's loving kindness, His mercies, they will never forsake you. They will never fail you. They'll never ruin you. Matter of fact, they'll transform you and change you and use you to bring glory to God. So that's why David would say that, hey, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, the kindness and the mercy of God is better than the next breath you take. Amen? Why? Because you can't make it in this world or the next without them. You gotta have them. So I know there's people, there might be some sitting right here today that will say they believe about Jesus. They believe what other people told them about Jesus. But do they really believe Jesus will always be what manifested in how they live their life, if they truly do. So we're going to go back, and as we go back, I want you to stop in a Psalm 111. And this is the reason why I want you to stop there. I'll explain this to you. Psalm 111. What we don't get into this morning, we're going to get into tonight. Amen? I'm in no hurry. I'm not going to keep you all day. But I know I'm coming back tonight, Lord willing. Amen? Look what verse 1 of Psalm 111 teaches us. And I preface this with this undeserved favor. It's already in my spirit. Already had it on my heart to share it. These ladies sang about it, so I got to. Amen. It was affirmation from the Lord, a word from Him. And then I had this idea to bring the light as we look at this Older Testament work of God, this microcosm in the life of Jehoshaphat. Psalm 111, 1 says, praise the Lord. And all God's people said, praise the Lord. And you can't praise Him without saying something about Him. Amen. You got to say something if you're going to praise Him. Now, you may say something that may not be praise. But if you're going to praise Him, you got to say something. You may say something and you are not in a right position with the Lord, and that which you say has no eternal value to it, and it's not praise. It's just noise. That happens. But if you're going to praise Him, you got to do what? You got to open your mouth. Amen. And it has to be on the platform of obedience. But praise the Lord. He said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Is He worth anything less than all of us? Amen. I will praise Him with my whole heart, and I will praise Him in the assembly of the upright and in or among the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. They're great in magnitude. They're great in depth. They're great in reach. They're great in extent. They're just great. Amen. Because they are also limitless of what they can do. And they are studied by all who have pleasure in them. The word study there, and this is what I want to bring out, the word study means to frequent. Frequent. How many of y'all got a TV show y'all like watching? Anybody? Now y'all lying in here to me. Well, let me put it this way. How many of y'all watch the news? Sometimes. How many of y'all keep an eye on the weather? How many of y'all check it about every day? The word studied means to frequent something. How many of y'all got a path at your house to your mailbox? Well, let me ask you this. How about at your rural mailbox, is there a path where the mail carrier's vehicle has rutted out a path where he drops off or she drops off the mail every day? How many of y'all got a favorite place that y'all like to sit and either... Not many people read the newspaper these days. You probably check your phone or whatever else you do, or your Bible devotions, whatever it is. How many of y'all got a place that it's obvious that's where you sit? Your chair is kind of wore out. The arms are kind of worked over a little bit because you rest your arms on it. How about a vehicle, a farm vehicle that you might ride around the pasture in or the field in? Is it obvious that you're in it on a regular basis? You see, anything you frequent in life is going to bear evidence of it. You can't frequent a place in your home again and again and again, or a seat or a path in the yard. Like, there's a behind our house, we live right on top of the church. We live right on top. I mean, I could just about spit and hit the side of the church. So when you come off the back porch, you make your way toward the back door, how I normally go. We've got a canopy out there, and right along the edge of that canopy, there's a worn-out path where we make the bend and make the turn to walk over to the church to go in the back door. There's a path there. Why? I frequent it. I wear it out going over there back and forth, back and forth. And the same thing when I walk out to the mailbox, there's a rut right alongside of Highway 498. A blacktop road where that old mail carrier pulls that vehicle over to the side, puts my mail in. I can tell when it's rained, when he's come. I can see where he's done washed out the water and water's on the road. I can take my old binoculars and look way out there and see. I can see when the trash man comes by on Mondays and picks up my trash and tell, and I wait. You know, I try to be productive. I try to wait till the trash man comes to go get my trash can so I can check the mail at the same time. I don't want to walk down there twice. Are you with me? Y'all do that, right? Some of y'all get on your 4x4s, your mules, or your buggies or whatever and go down and do that. You done got past the walking. Are you with me? And you wear out a path. You frequent it again and again and again. Well, the Bible tells us that God has worked His works in such a way that they are the magnitude and the wonder of what He's done in the past. His people that love those, that is, they have pleasure in them, that means they are treasured to them. You don't treasure something you don't love. Are you with me? You got to treasure something And when you treasure it, it's evident that you love it. When you treasure it, it's going to manifest you've been protecting it. You want to know everything you can to know about it. Well, he says, it is evident in my people's life who treasure what I've done in my people's life through the years because they keep frequenting it over and over again. They keep going back to what God did when He rescued Noah and Noah's family there prior to that flood coming upon the earth. And they revisit it again and again. They go revisit Abraham's life. And I want to tell you, none of these people that we get to go revisit, none of them were flawless. Every one of them had issues. And all God's people said, how many of you sitting on the pew today or in this chair today have issues? How many of you still got problems? How many of you still messed up? But you see, your mess-ups don't have to mess you up. And that's one of the great testimonies of all these people who had messed up lives because they entered in the world just like you did, just like I did, with an innate problem of making life about me. And anytime we make life about us and we focus in on us, we're going to create trouble for ourselves. We're going to be problems for ourselves. And only things going to come out of that is the ugly things of life. And we're going to see that as we look at Jehoshaphat's life. We're going to see God's undeserved favor, that which was done in faith. But then we're going to see that which was done because He wanted to do it and the problems that it created in His life. And that which is not done in faith only leads to death. And we'll see it. What's not done in faith will only lead to destruction and death. And that will include his family. That will include his children. That's going to include some of the alliances that he made. A godly man who sought after the Lord, who's going to do some things that he should have never done, and anything he done that was not a product of faith is... it ain't going to make it. And that applies to you and me too. That which is not of faith ain't going to live. It's going to die. It won't be rewarded eternally. So, every time we visit these things, every time we visit Egypt when God delivered them through Moses and brought them out, every time we visit these scriptures, every time we visit these historical references, every time we do it, God takes note of it. And He's caused these things to be so extraordinary and great, they will transcend time and have an effect upon your life in the very now, today. They can change you. Amen. Of all the implications of these great things that God has done. And He says that. Look, studied by those that have pleasure in Him. So you don't want to fool yourself. If you don't study or frequent the Word, they're not a pleasure to you. Amen? Y'all say that with me. If I don't look in the Word as a way of life, I don't treasure the Word of God. Because if you treasured it, like you treasure deer hunting or shopping, or eating, or making money. How many of y'all get up every morning and go to work? Why do you get up every morning and go to work? Say it again. Because there is what? A payoff. There's a payoff. There's a reward. So you'll do things you don't want to do, because there's a what? A payoff. With all labor, there is a reward, the Scripture says. A payoff. There's a payoff for all labor. And how many of y'all do things on the job you just wish you didn't do or didn't have to do or you would rather be doing something else? But you keep doing it. Why? Because of the payoff. But I hope it's not just for the payoff. One, God's ordained work, hasn't He? Isn't that what He said? He's ordained work. Now, just like He's ordained suffering and sorrow when women are pregnant and going to bear forth children. But we do everything in our brother to change what God's ordained. Are you with me? Think about it. God has a reason for what He's ordained. Remember He said, by the sweat of your brow, by the sweat of your brow you shall labor and toil. Amen? Why? What does that remind us of? That mankind has fallen. They're reminders of the curse. And in the curse, we're reminded that we need God's mercy. We need His mercy. We need His mercy. They're reminders. How many of y'all got some thorns and thistles in your yard? How about your field? What are they reminders of? They're reminders of the fall. And that as reminders of the fall, we live in a world that is fallen and among a people that are fallen. And they will stay in that condition until somebody lays their life down and takes up the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and brings that message to them, because they can't save themselves, amen. They can't get out of the curse themselves. They can't get out of darkness on their own. They can't get out of the deception by themselves. Somebody's got to bring the power of the gospel to them to rescue them out of that darkness and deliver them into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Amen? They're reminders for us. So every time I frequent that, they remind me of this unmerited, undeserved grace that God has bestowed upon my life. Grace is God cheerfully and delightfully gratifying Himself for Himself in the face of deserved wrath through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has blessed us, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2 again, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in, frequented by all who treasure them. His work is honorable and it is glorious, and His righteousness endures for how long? Forever. God has made His wonderful works to be remembered. Y'all hear that? How many times somebody ever told you, I just can't remember the Word of God? Well, His Word is reminders of His works. He's left it for us, right? But how many times have you personally said, I just can't remember Scripture? You ever say that? Okay. Well, naturally, you can't. Because the Scriptures are supernaturally discerned. Meaning, God's got to help you with them. And all God's people said, we need the Lord to help us with this as we talk about it today, as we look at it today. Every time I jump in the message of God, I need God to help me with it, because this ain't no normal book. This ain't no normal message. This is a divine word from God that takes divine inspiration to understand it. But God's made it in such a way that we won't forget it. That we won't let it go. We remember. You may not remember every detail. You may not remember every scripture that we have as an address about the detail. But He wants you to remember what He's done. He wants you to remember how He worked. He wants you to remember why He worked. He wants you to remember the consequences of what happened when they didn't work with Him. He wants you to remember what He did when they did work with Him. Why? He wants you to know Him and how He works in this life. That God has a principal way of doing things within the body of Christ. He has a principal way of doing things in this world that we live in. He has a principal way of doing things within the government that is established within our land. He has a principal way of doing things within marriage and with parents and within family. That God has a principal way, and His way don't bend. Amen. And we want to know. Know His way. We've got to know Him. He's got to teach us, but He's given us a record of it to know Him and know His principal way in all that He does. So He says here that the Lord causes these wonderful works, which are great works, He causes them to be memorable, that we can remember them. So I want to take that on faith, right? That, hey, God says that He's made all this stuff that He's shared with us in a way that I can remember them. So I'm going to believe it, amen. Just like I believe Jesus said that God has told us that man's not to live on bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So if I'm to live on the Word, then God's got to do something supernatural in me to help me with this word that He says He's caused to be remembered. Amen? So it's not dependent upon me as much as it is I'm dependent upon Him to teach me what I can't learn without Him. To put in me what I can't put in me without Him putting it in me. To take and harness my mind and renew me and refresh me every day. Transform me so that I'll be in position to hear exactly what He wants from me, exactly when He wants it in my life. So I'm not dependent upon what I can do in the natural, like eating bread or drinking water, but what He can do in me, with me, and then through me. Amen? So, notice what He says. The Lord is gracious and He's full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him, and He will be ever mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His work. His what? His works, right? He's declared unto His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are verity and justice, and all His precepts are sure. You can rest your life upon them. They stand fast forever and ever, and they are done in what? Truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Notice verse 10, the fear of the Lord, that is, taking God at His word, that's the idea, giving place to Him, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. You hear that? That helps me. That if I struggle with remembering, if I struggle with these remarkable works, Miss Priscilla, if I struggle with understanding them, the struggle is not with them, the struggle is with the King that I serve. Amen? The struggle is where? Is I'm frequenting everything else. I'm trying to remember all the wrong things, and I'm walking out that which has no life in it, so that really falls back on who? On me, not on Him. Amen? Because if anybody can teach you, it's Him. He's your Maker, right? And you can't, this is the thing, He is our Maker, but you see, as our Maker, He has to remake us. That's where the Bible says that you must be what? Born again. You got to be made what? A new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in our first state, we lived in enmity and rebellion toward the things of God. We don't know Him. We can't know His works. We can't know His ways. We can't understand what He's doing. So what does God have to do? He has to birth us into His kingdom, into His realm. He's got to take us out of the darkness of deception and bring us into the kingdom of His light. He's got to bring us into the kingdom of His Son. He's got to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And none of us deserve that. Remember, He's done that because of Jesus. Amen. He don't accept me for me. He accepts me what? Because of Jesus. And because He accepts me because of Jesus, now He's going to transform me. He's going to change me. And He's going to put me on another course of living. And now I, as a just man, based on the merit of a just man, ought to live by faith and not by sight. I'm to live on the Word of God. Amen. So I say all this to lead us into what we'll do when we come back tonight. We're going to look at a particular person and in his life. We're going to look at some of his heritage, where he came from, who his father was. We're going to look at some of the alliances that he made. And we're going to look at how he compromised the essence of really who He was, because He had great wealth and great riches, and He wanted to hold on to those things and didn't want to lose those. But then God sends a word to him, and God tells him what he's about to do in his life, and that he needs to get these things in order. And remember, that word that came through him wasn't a word that he deserved. That word that came through him, because God is just, and because God is just, somebody else paid the price so that God could bring him that word. Amen? And who paid that price for him? Who paid the price for your life? Jesus. Do you believe him? Not about him now. Do you believe him? Do you take him at his word? Do you believe him? Jesus said the wages of sin is what? What are they? The wages of sin of death. But the gift of God, the gift of God is what? Everlasting life. And that gift only comes through Jesus. Through Jesus. Do you believe him? Do you believe that these people that we live in this world with are going to perish without Jesus? Well, I may believe that in theory, but do I really believe it? Because if I really believed it, I would do whatever was necessary to see God make a difference in their life. Because without Jesus, they will what? Perish. Without Jesus, they are perishing. Without Jesus, they under the wrath of God. Without Jesus, they'll be separated forever from Him. So I need God to work in me. I need Him to work with me. I need Him to work through me in a powerful way if I want to see somebody that I love and care for who thinks they believe Jesus, but they only believe what others have told them about Jesus. They need people like you and me praying for them. Amen. That God would rescue them out of that darkness. Bring them into Jesus. Make them those new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then launch them out with the good news of the gospel. Jesus said it like this: if a man come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And if a man will not follow me, give himself to me and my gospel, he doesn't belong to me. It's in Mark chapter 8, 34 through 38. So the idea is, when we surrender to Jesus, we're not only surrendering to Him, but we're surrendering to His message, to His Word. What is His purpose? What is His agenda? What is His message? What is His life? What did He come to do? And when we give our life to Him, that's the life we've given ourselves to. That Jesus came to do this, I believe it. Now I'm surrendering my life to Him and His life message, and that becomes my life message. And you see, a lot of times the only thing people have surrendered to is a word that they can be free from their sins, but they really haven't given themselves to Jesus nor His message. And it's evident in their life. So salvation is giving myself to Him. And if He's the greatest man to ever live, the greatest moment that was ever given unto men, with the greatest message ever given, don't you think if it was my message, it would be manifested that it's the greatest message I've ever believed and ever held as well? And I'd carry that to the world that I live in. Amen? Yes. Yes, it is. So this morning, we're going to have an invitation here in a moment for you to respond to Jesus in faith. To take Him at His Word. Just take Him at His Word. That He died for you. That He was buried for you. That He lived for you. That He was conceived for you. Because you know, when you really put your faith in Jesus, everything about His life is applied to your life. His conception. Yeah. You know why our conception is all messed up? The Scripture says our mothers conceived us in iniquity. We were born, Brother Jerry, speaking lies from where? The womb. You ever watch a baby? I got 9 grandchildren. My oldest one's going to be 15, but I've got one that is a little 2.5 years old and fixing to have a newborn, and got one that is right around 6 or 7 months old right now. And you just watch them when somebody wants to take something from them, what they do. You know what I'm talking about? You don't have to teach this, right? It's innately born into them to make life about who? Them, us. That's right. You don't have to teach that. You don't have to teach sin. Sin's in us. It's part of us. But I want to tell you what, it takes the supernatural work of Jesus to save us from, y'all sang it in the song, if I'm not mistaken, or did we sing it in a hymn, about the power, being saved from the power of sin. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. The only thing we haven't been saved from yet, but it's coming, that's going to be from the presence of sin. Amen? From the presence of sin. But we've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our hearts have to change. I can't change it. He's got to change it. This world we live in has a heart like stone. I brought this in here. Just what this means in Ezekiel. That God will take a stony heart out of us and put a heart of flesh. Don't let that word flesh overthrow you. And think of it in the connotation of how the New Testament teaches the flesh. It's a contrast between something that has no life in it, like a stone, and your literal flesh. For an example, I take this stone right here with this hammer. Cry? Did it do anything? It made some noise when I hit it, but did this stone cry out? Hold me a second, brother. He would respond differently than this stone, right? Why? Because he's made of flesh. He's got a body of flesh. That flesh is sensitive to the hit. What about if I put a flame on it? Y'all listen for it. Brother Jerry, put your hand out. No, your arm. Be a different story, right? His flesh is sensitive to the flame, but this rock's not. I brought a Q-bean in here with me. Thing's bright. This rock hadn't flinched, right? Now what if I took it and did like that? Y'all automatically wanted to do this, didn't you, brother? I seen you. Now, I wouldn't shine it directly in your eyes. Why? Because your eyes are sensitive. That's exactly right. You see, when God makes a new creature in Christ, He takes the stony heart that was unsensitive, couldn't be moved by Him, dead to Him, couldn't honor Him, couldn't heed Him, couldn't hold forth life for Him, and He gives us a heart of flesh that becomes what? Sensitive to Him. That we're moved by Him. That's the difference. Sensitive. You've got people right now, you know, that I would encourage you to pray for today. That their hearts are not sensitive to God. They tell you they know Jesus, but the evidence of their heart, their life, is they still got a stony heart in them. They're not moved by Him. They're not sensitive to Him. Not sensitive to Him. Not sensitive to His Word. Not sensitive to His people. They've hardened their heart and just pushed back at it. But anybody that has had a change of heart, that God's taken the stony heart out and put a heart of flesh in, the first indicator of their life is that they are sensitive to the voice of God. The next step is they start seeking God as a way of life. They submit to Him in what He is unveiling to Him. And then they serve Him. And then they are steadfast in doing the work that God's given them to do. Why? Something happened in them they couldn't do for themselves. God changed their heart. Amen. God done a work in Jehoshaphat's life. We're going to see it. But it wasn't because of Jehoshaphat. It was because of who? Jesus. That's right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'd encourage you today, give your life to Jesus. I encourage you today, pray for those you love and care for that still need Jesus. We need Jesus to work in us. Amen? We do. Would you stand with us and I'll pray. Brother Jerry's going to come. Father, we bless you right now and thank you. We thank you. We ask you to help us with this. Prepare our hearts as we seek you. Prepare our hearts to run to you. Lord, you are the only one that can say. You tell us that it is impossible with man, but with you all things are possible. We can't save ourselves. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't get out of the mess that we're in by ourselves. So, Lord, we are looking to you. We're turning to you. We're crying out to you. We're asking you. We're praying big to ask you to do what only you can do. So, Lord, deliver people in here today. In Jesus' name, amen.